Welcome to Stateside. I'm April Baer. Today, what Detroit might look like with space preserved for the Black lives that have formed the fabric of the city.
When you don't speak to the culture that is unique to a place, you get something that's very any town USA. And why would you want to live in a place that's like every other place you've ever been to?
That's coming up later in the program. But first, Michigan's Attorney General Dana Nessel says she's opening a criminal investigation into the group Unlock Michigan. Formed to challenge Governor Whitmer's orders during the COVID pandemic, Unlock Michigan has been gathering signatures aimed at revoking the governor's emergency executive powers. A series of articles in the Detroit Free Press has reported over the summer that some of Unlock Michigan's signature gatherers were instructed to follow irregular and, in some cases, illegal procedures. Nessel says her office heard from Michiganders who were asked to sign, but she also heard from our first guest today, John Peerich. He's a retired attorney who works on the laws governing petition campaigns, and he has worked on various Republican causes in the past. John Peerich, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you, April. Good to be here.
When did you become suspicious about methods that Unlock Michigan was using?
Well, let me put a little preface on what your introduction. Number one, I have represented Republicans, Democrats, and Independents in all election matters going back over 45 years. So I want to make sure that premise is clearly understood. I'm not acting as a partisan in this.
Certainly.
Number two, when did I become concerned? When I started reading media reports with regard to some of the activities that supposedly were occurring, and when I heard about and then obtained a copy of the video with the one trainer, I was absolutely shocked to hear of the methodologies, processes, and procedures that they were using to train petition gatherers, clearly in violation of the standards articulated in the Michigan election law for such a process.
And if I can just clarify a little bit further, had you done any investigation of Unlock Michigan's methods yourself, or was this strictly based on what you had read in the press?
I had done absolutely no investigation myself. You pointed out quite accurately that I'm retired from the active practice of law, but I have a lot of time to read newspapers and other accounts. And when I saw more and more of the evidence about the process and procedures that were being used, and then some of the statements of some of the people who were circulating on behalf of the effort, my suspicions were really aroused at that point.
Right. Now, the main article on this came from the Detroit Free Press, and the allegations against Unlock Michigan include telling signature collectors that it's really hard to get caught doing stuff. They didn't say stuff except for like forgeries, telling signature collectors it was okay to leave petitions unattended while they're collecting, telling signature collectors it's really easy to give misleading testimony about the collection process if they're deposed in court. Of all the things that the article mentions, what claims were of most concern to you?
Well, you've articulated the basic claims. Number one, to train people who go out into the field to circulate petitions in a fashion that clearly violates the standards articulated in the Michigan election law is absolutely wrong, number one. Number two, it's illegal. And number three, there should be consequences for that kind of conduct. Again, allowing petitions to sit around on a table and having people come up willy-nilly and sign them and not be witnessed by a circulator opens the entire process to an abuse that, you know, again, who knows who the people are who are signing it, number one. Number two, who knows how many times people sign multiple occasions using different names. And in my history of doing ballot petition checking and petition work over the number of years, I remember one particular case in the city of Detroit when then-Mayor Dennis Archer was subject to a recall petition when circulators signed the names of the baseball rosters from the papers on a particular day. So you had all these names of professional athletes who were signing a petition when in fact they weren't the real people doing it.
Right.
And that's what really aroused my suspicion about these methodologies and procedures that they were using.
What are some of the most common violations that you would typically see when you were still practicing? Was it the kind of forgeries that were kind of spectacular in the campaign you just mentioned?
I mentioned the one with then-Mayor Archer. There was one woman who signed 147 times. We oftentimes see people who just sign any name that they want to sign when you're doing a review. The reality is there's another practice in this parlance known as round robining, where 10 people or 20 people would sit around a table and they'd have all these sheets in front of them and they just sign names and move them round the table, round the table, round the table. And when you're paying $3.50 a signature, what an incredible allure for someone who wants to be untoward to simply start signing petitions and get paid $3.50 for each one.
Did you have any strong feelings one way or the other about the content of the petition language or its intention to sort of reel in Governor Whitmer in how she's been exercising executive power during the pandemic? Did you have any feelings about that before you heard about the method of collection?
I absolutely had feelings about that. And I was interviewed numerous times throughout the last 6 months with regard to the governor's exercise of her authority under the 1945 Act. And I said over and over again, the legislature gave her this power authority just as they gave it to Governor Snyder or they gave it to Governor Blanchard or Governor Engler. And in fact, when there was an emergency, it was available to be used. In this particular case, I don't know what kind of emergency could be described any more accurately than one that kills over 6,000 people in our state and has infected, I don't even know the numbers today, 115,000, 120,000 of our residents. At great cost and great burden to our society, to our state, and to the economics and to the safety and health of our citizens.
The Free Press asked the originators at Unlock Michigan, you know, what they had to say about the irregularities that they reported. And the person who's the spokesman for Unlock Michigan, Fred Zolick, came back saying that Eric Tissinger, who featured prominently in the incidents that the Free Press was reporting about, that Eric Tissinger was someone who worked for this California-based signature collection company called In the Field, and that he, you know, Zolick was suggesting that Mr. Tissinger had been a plant and that the whole thing was a setup to try to make Unlock Michigan look bad. Do you have any thoughts on that contention and whether a setup of that kind would be possible to pull off in Michigan?
Well, number one, I have no idea who this individual is other than listening to his voice for over an hour, filled with profanity and filled with assertions that were absolutely mind-boggling with regard to what people can do. Number two, as I understand it, National Petition Management, a company based in Brighton and in Sacramento, California, is the lead company that's received somewhere close to $900,000 to circulate the petitions that supposedly was a volunteer effort. Mm. So if you've got a volunteer effort, why do you need nearly $1 million in funds to do this process? And I do know that National Petition Management that I've worked with and seen in the past, I do know that they subcontract the different petition gatherers. This is not an entity that has, you know, 500 employees around the state of Michigan. National Petition Management works primarily in California, and they subcontract to get people to go out and do the work, and then they're sort of a clearinghouse that brings in the petition sheets and collates them and counts them and then turns them in with their sponsor. So to say that they're unaffiliated is something I really don't have direct knowledge of other than what this individual said on the tape and what the transcript says.
Is it common for signature gathering subcontractors to work different sides of the aisle, so to speak, for them to sometimes gather signatures for Republican-supported ballot measures and sometimes for ones that were written by Democrats?
Most petition gathering firms that I'm familiar with and that I've worked with over the years work for anyone who will pay them, number one. Number two, when you're getting... I mean, just imagine the cost. If you're paying someone $3.50 a signature, we're talking about some incredible sums of money, especially if you say, well, again, I have no idea to know the total number of petition signatures that they purportedly are going to turn in. But if it is 500,000, if they collected 40% of those signatures, that's an incredible amount of money that's been spent on this process. So, you know, what they've actually done, how did they actually do it? It's always a mystery at each one of these because they're done differently. Some are focused mostly in Southeast Michigan and in larger communities where people gather at events. Some are focused in rural areas. Some with regard to, for instance, Right to Life, go to churches, go to different venues where they think they have a greater likelihood to get people to sign. Again, I don't know the process of procedure that was used in this case with regard to structure, but I do know I've read the information. I've seen the materials. I've seen photographs that were posted in different venues of unattended petitions, all of which is just absolutely improper.
Have you heard from any of the folks who were involved in Unlock Michigan yourself?
No, I don't think they're eager to talk to me at this point.
Tell me a little bit about the timetable that all this might go through. Could the petition process be delayed by an investigation?
Well, I don't even know if they've turned the petitions in yet. So if they have not turned the petitions in yet, there's certainly a possibility that could affect that process. I would have no way of knowing that, number one. Number two, if they do turn the petitions in, the petitions become the property of the Department of State as a repository of the filing under Article 2, Section 9 of the Michigan Constitution. So the petitions would then be in their hands. But again, I don't know where all the petitions would be at that point and whether or not they have called certain petitions out from certain circulators, certain areas of the state. I would have no idea, and I don't have the authority or the investigative clout to be able to find that out. But it would be very, very interesting to know that.
John Peerich is a retired attorney who has worked on several different petition gathering campaigns and other legal matters in Michigan. Mr. Peerich, thanks so much for your time.
Great talk to you, April. Have a great day.